Good? Okay. Would you join me in a flag salute, please?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton, county of Hunterdon, state of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. Let roll call, please.
Sure. Councilmember Whitlick? Here. Councilman Kachanowski?
Here.
Councilman Malay?
Here.
Council President Kiernan?
Present.
And Mayor Higgins?
Here.
And we have a
call. Thank you. So now that we've convened as the council, we'll unconvene and revert to the Board of Health to hear a septic modification request for Block 3, Lot 2, 178 Cokesbury Road. And this young woman looks like an engineer who's been out in the field today.
Thank you.
You know, I saw two septics under construction right at the foot of Cokesbury, right at the river down in Ken Lockwood today.
Oh.
Right everywhere. You're on.
So this is on 178 Cokesbury Road. It's an existing home. It's being purchased, and the septic system failed the inspection. So I designed another septic. Unfortunately, it doesn't meet the code in that the disposal bed will be 10 feet from the property line. Clinton Township requires 20. And due to the lot limitations, the toe of the slope cannot be 10 feet from the property line. In fact, we have to construct a wall. The lot is very long and narrow and very steep. So this is the only place to put this septic. In addition, we cannot show a 100% reserve area when we use chambers. There's just no place to put the system.
And I saw that lot configuration is very narrow and very oddly shaped.
Right. And behind the house, it pretty much goes straight up.
Okay. And as we've said in the last couple of times we've heard these hearings, these requests for septic modifications and repairs, we're very much considering changing our ordinance to comport with the state ordinance, which is 10-foot setback from the house, or property line rather than 20. So that one's no problem, and it looks like the good Mr. Vaccarella is okay with the others as well.
Correct.
And provided that you build that retaining wall.
Yeah.
That's a condition,
right.
I think.
Yeah. They might be able to grade it out, but probably have to put a little like knee wall in. But the good thing is 10 feet from the property line on the other property is just all woods up behind, you know, behind the neighbor house. And it's very steep there, so they won't be, you know, encroaching on a fence or a driveway or anywhere near a house or anything like that either.
Okay.
Excuse me.
When are we going to try to switch this around? You said August, maybe?
Well, as soon as we can get the ordinance committee together at the planning board, which could be next Monday night, as it said. Monday at the planning board is really administrative stuff. There's no cases to be heard, so we may be able to get that committee going. Any questions? Other questions from council?
No, I'll make a motion to grant the waiver subject to the condition outlined by the Board of Health. For the County Health Department.
I'll second Brian's motion.
Councilwoman Switler?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're all set. Back out to the heat.
What?
Back out to the sun and the heat.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. All right, we're reconvening now as council again, and we're up to the consent item on the agenda. And I don't have to give the normal explanation since there's only one of these items to look at and vote on. Any questions on this one? It's a release of performance guarantees and escrows.
Make a motion.
Second.
Was that Tom?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Councilwoman Switwood?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malloy?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. Reports?
No.
Oh, no.
No, going too fast.
Oh, excuse me.
Way too fast.
Way too fast.
Wishful thinking.
That was a big one to skip, too.
That was huge.
It's all in culture. Maybe it was Freudian, I don't know. Mr. Clifford, you're here to give us a preview explanation proposal from Comcast for a franchise renewal.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the hearing on the application that we submitted back in December of 2017. We are nearing the end of a three-year federally mandated process. The current Certificate of Approval, or COA, will expire on August 31st of this year. A Certificate of Approval is a document that a cable company needs in order to maintain a cable television system in New Jersey. The COA and the ordinance that will go along with it covers cable television only. It does not include internet service or phone service. The Board of Public Utilities will issue it after municipal consent is given and our application is reviewed by the BPU for compliance with state and federal requirements. This process began with a letter filed on September 30th of 2015 called a 626 letter, and basically this is section 626 of the SEC regulations for cable franchise renewals. Basically, the letter indicated our intent to move forward to renew the application. Upon the close of the public hearing, the town would grant a ordinance of renewal or a resolution of denial. The requirements are that this is done within 30 days of the close of the public hearing. However, since we have not had an opportunity to sit down and negotiate, these time frames are flexible. The only time that the BPU would come in and impose these time frames on us if it gets to a point where I am being unresponsive to the town or the town's being unresponsive to me, that's when the state would step in. And luckily, I don't think I've ever had that problem in 17 years. The consent ordinance that we are seeking is simply a right-of-way. It is not a contract which obligates the township to do anything but to allow us to continue to run our fiber and our equipment along your rights-of-way. Most importantly, it is non-exclusive, meaning that any other cable provider could come in at any time and seek the same rights to offer service. About 6 years ago, the state changed the way franchising was done. The process that we're undertaking has remained the same. However, there is a second option to franchise, which is called a statewide franchise, which we could bypass coming before the municipality and go directly to the state of New Jersey to ask for what is called a system-wide or a statewide franchise. We have never done that. Every municipality is different and has different cable-related needs. And we've had good relationships with our municipalities, so we have tried to work these out face-to-face without having to bring in the state. If another provider comes in, that is, like I said, that is either via the state or by an agreement with the municipality. Our application, however, must be judged on four criteria, and this is all under state and federal regulations. Has the cable operator complied with the terms of the existing franchise and with the applicable law? Has the operator service, including signal quality and response to complaints, been reasonable? Does the operator have the financial, legal, and technical ability to provide the services and facilities that it proposes to provide? And is the operator's franchise renewal proposal reasonable to meet the future cable-related needs of the community? We believe that we have met all four of those. There are two areas that the governing body cannot consider when deciding to renew or deny. The first one are rates. Rates are governed by state and federal statute and are outside your purview. And programming. Our channel lineup is protected under the First Amendment, just as newspaper content is. That being said, I'll answer any questions that you may have on any of those topics to the best of my ability. And if I don't have your answers tonight, I will get them to you this week. I've been working through Jess. So with that, I'll open up to any questions you may have.
I'd just say you've been very cooperative with us. I know we met with Rob and Rob Clifton.
and Robert Howard. Am I getting his name right?
Yes.
Who is with Comcast's network architecture, talked about the future of Comcast, the future really of, I would say, cable television and distribution coming up, 5G and some other things that were, was very informative, very helpful. You know that Comcast is going to be upgrading your internal facilities to what is current today for serving this particular community. I do think we've got some pretty significant challenges here in providing good quality service to people, which are more technical in nature rather than service provided. For example, I use myself as an example. My home was built in the 70s when I first had Comcast service. One of the first things that had to happen was that my last mile had to be replaced, and that is from the distribution to my home, primarily because it's coax cable, it's aging, it's getting older. I am seeing less and less of that in my community, though, so I think Comcast has been getting caught up with that. But I would just comment from the perspective of having evaluated Comcast, looking from the OCTV, the complaints that we've gotten there. There are complaints that come in for billing, for other services. Most of those we've determined had more to do with when Comcast came in and actually bought Patriot Media, which previously was known as RCN. That created a lot of confusion. It's a new company, new information, new formats, new things are coming out. I would say, and I'll kind of look at Jess for a little concurrence on this too, is that in the last year or so, complaints are almost nil. The service that we're receiving from Comcast and responsiveness has been to the level that we would desire, and it's been good.
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
And I sent a letter back a year ago in August. The other things we had agreed on, that you can provide extra station or extra outlets for our police, fire, rescue, schools, things like that. And we have looked at all the complaint forms. I think the only thing that's out there hanging is the areas on the map where there's no service.
Right.
It comes up and we've talked.
Right.
With some people in the audience, I know.
Califont Drive in particular.
Yeah.
I apologize for them. We are actually, I spoke with one of my vice presidents yesterday on it. We are actually talking to our technical and residential sales folks to see if there are any way we can lessen those costs. I know the OCTV had reached out to Marvin at one point via letter. I'm sure you have a copy of that.
Nancy.
Okay. But we are going to try to, we are doing the best we can to try to mitigate that issue to get these folks serviced, at the lowest possible cost.
Of course, cost possible. Sharing or something.
Absolutely.
To get the cost down for the installation.
That's what
is the big hit.
Right. Absolutely.
Actually, and a major benefit of having a provider or a franchisee to the community is that within the state, there can be up to a 5% franchise fee. Typically, 2% comes to the municipality, 2% goes to OCTV. And should it be determined that there are major service issues, up to 1% of a municipality's expenses associated with managing, overseeing, resolving those issues can also be assessed to the franchisee. We are nowhere near a position to even be considering that type of an arrangement or that type of appeal to the OCTV. Looking at the complaints that we've gotten, we take out some of the premium services, which are not part of the franchise fee. We're not even averaging one complaint a month for a company providing service to the whole community on average. And most of those complaints have dropped off significantly since we've settled in. And a lot of those, when the OCTV does register a complaint, if I call in and I hit multiple areas in questioning, that's three complaints, if it's three. There's not a whole host of complaints that are going in right now. Most of it, again, seems to have been associated with the, I'm going to call it confusion, or a new company coming in. People don't like change.
And any major problem, most of the residents have reached out to the municipality and it has gone directly to me, which is, if a problem gets to a point where they reach out to an elected official at a municipality, they've had a bad experience, and we try to get to resolve that immediately.
And just for us laymen, OCTV is
Office of Cable Television.
They receive all the complaints, I suppose.
Right. They keep a record, and then they monitor the complaints, and anytime there's an issue on our end, an outage or anything like that, we provide reports to them directly.
And before we get into the public hearing, I just wanted to ask our attorney, Ms. Cecil, was Mr. Clifton's explanation of process and the law, does it comport with what you understand it to be and your experience?
Yes, it was accurate, it was succinct, and so as not to bore people, I will not go back through it myself. The only thing I'll add is just for the benefit of the council and also just the members of the public, in terms of the public hearing that's being held tonight, the purpose primarily is for this body as well as Comcast, but mainly for this body to just take comments and questions from residents about Comcast's renewal application. This is also a good opportunity to document any commitments that Comcast has made to the township so that we have it on the record, because really this is what you're doing. You're creating the record that will support, if you decide to renew the franchise, grant the application, this is the record that you're putting together. And then if there are questions or concerns that the township has raised, that residents have raised, it's a chance for Comcast to provide you with a response.
Okay. And we haven't had an opportunity yet to sit down, just at the letter. Last year, we haven't had a chance to sit down. I don't know if you're going to have a cable committee or how the negotiations will commence, but what I'll do within the next week or so is provide you with basically an offer sheet as well as a draft ordinance for your review that we've used in many communities throughout New Jersey, and then we'll go from there. That works.
From August 7th of last year, you can enter. Is what we agreed to a year ago with your partner.
Yeah, so this is a letter dated August 7th, 2017. It is from the township to Robert Clifton and to Nancy Wolf, who is with the Office of Cable Television. So that can be part of the record, and that is setting forth basically what the township would like to have from Comcast, but I'll just...
Yeah, I didn't respond to the things we agreed to as of yet.
I assume that it's...
I do have
when you put in the term sheet that you were referring to, it'll address what was set forth in the...
Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
Okay. And to clarify, because I think this is relatively new, I think you mentioned this is within the last 5 years that this changed, but a renewal of this franchise, granted, if the township recommends it via ordinance and it's approved to you, would not preclude another cable carrier from coming in here at laying cable and servicing
not at all.
Clinton Township.
We have, I represent municipalities throughout Monmouth and Ocean County, Hunterdon, Middlesex, Mercer, and you know, we've had in a lot of those municipalities, Verizon Fios overbuild in those communities. We've dealt with that, and that's, you know, our franchise is not impacted by that. They're, like I said, free to come in and say please.
Okay. So is it time to open the public hearing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have any more formal comments? Or
I don't know. Just...
All right. We would maybe ask you to have a seat.
Sure.
Perhaps next to Mr. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
That way we'll...
Yeah.
I'm over it, sir.
Thanks.
Any comments or more comments, questions from council?
Well, what happens if we don't renew?
Well, then do you...
It goes to the VPU, is
it
my
go to
understanding,
the
VPU.
And
the VPU...
Yeah.
We would more than likely will renew it.
If we're unable to come to an agreement, we would then you would at some point reject by resolution our renewal. Then we would appeal to the Board of Public Utilities. We would go there for mediation. If we're unable to mediate there, then it would go to an administrative law judge for final disposition.
And we had a cable committee prior. Well, how many years ago was that?
Oh, it still exists. I don't think.
No,
it's,
I mean,
well, the old cable committee, that was, what was the franchise length? 13 years?
15.
No, 15.
Okay. So that was the last time we did this renewal. Have all the obligations, are there any outstanding obligations or agreements that we have, everything from the last time?
No, we're pretty current.
Everything. Everything that you agreed to.
Everything that was agreed to by Patriot that we took over, we provided all grant money, free services, all those obligations have been met.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else from council or the public weighs in?
I'm Ron Horton. I live on 31 Chalfont Drive, and I appreciate the acknowledgement that we are interested in taking advantage of what was depicted tonight as some great service, right? We don't have that luxury of having cable on our street. And we're not, you know, not looking for it to be run and say, hey, do it for free at the cost of Comcast. But it is something that's been pursued by the group of homes back where I am on Chalfont since 2006. And I think Marvin Voss was township administrator, and Marvin had said, you know, here are all the channels you go through. We've gone through all those channels, right? We got pricing back from Comcast. It was extraordinarily high. You know, you're talking initially started around 17,000, rapidly ramped up as we went back year after year to see if we could get a better agreement. And I think the last one was in the 25,000 range for the homes.
I think that was correct.
Yeah.
There were five homes that would split about 3,500, and then or just under 5,000, and in one home would be all close to 10,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, you know, that's feasible.
Let me just explain to council, if you don't know, Chalfont
is
densely populated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's, how long is that stretch of woods?
It probably goes back 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah.
But the bulk, there's really three homes sit probably 3/8 to a half mile from where your last service is. The final home, the furthest home, I don't think they'd go down the path. I think that putting the cable to their house because it sits so far back would be very cost prohibitive for them. I think you've got three homes for sure that are all in, and I think they're sitting right about that 3/8 half mile mark.
Can you give me those addresses?
31.
I'm at 36.
33.
31, 33, and 36?
Yeah.
And again,
yeah.
Just so council knows, there is a density, a minimum density requirement to extend service.
25 homes per mile.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's really the issue.
And that would be for the interruption, that would be for Comcast to pick it up
in
its entirety.
Right.
And below that, it's possible, but it's at the cost of the residents.
There's a cost share, yeah.
I don't think that there's really an issue in some regard with cost share. It's just we've pursued this for so long, right? We have not had any luck. Marvin had said, hey, at the end of the day, if you don't get anywhere, you know, when the franchise agreement comes up, this is your opportunity, right? It doesn't sound like we're asking a lot, right, for an agreement to be put in place. And I feel that it would be reasonable to expect that they could extend for us this service to these homes that are desiring it, right? I'm not afraid to pay a little bit for it, but I do think that $5,000 is too much. You're going to receive our service. I'd be willing to sign a contract, and I can speak on behalf of several of the homes back here that would say we would stay with you for a certain period of time. Or if we had to upfront the money, whatever that is, and I still think $5,000 is too high, we would get free service until that money was burnt up.
Yeah, we have those options that I have sent to our sales folks as well as our technical folks to see what we can do.
I guess the challenge I have is that these options have been talked about for years now, right? And this approach has been done for years. We're at our wit's end. Like, this is it. We're here tonight because if it doesn't happen tonight, it's whatever plan B is. And there isn't really good options. I know you say that we can bring another provider in, but that's not really feasible, right?
No.
You know, no provider is going to run what they're going to have to run a lot more line or pay a fee for line. We're just asking for that 3/8 half mile run so that we can enjoy all the benefits of cable TV. And that's all we're really asking
we're
for tonight.
Trying to help out.
John, is that density negotiable? Or is that a state mandated?
The minimum density I've ever seen has been 25 miles.
Right, but my question is that negotiable? Like, we're going to vote to say yes, so you don't have to go to the van.
My understanding is the Board of Public Utilities has never accepted anything less than 25. Now, you can ask Nancy, I'm not sure. But I can tell you most of the franchises I deal with are actually 35. So this is sort of unique out here. It's where it's 25. And that's the lowest I've seen it.
I was just going to say, is it during the time of the franchise agreement renewal, this is where I was told the opportunity was to expand the current PSA or current provider service area, whatever the term is that you all use. So that's why we're hoping.
And that's one of the reasons that we're looking at it again,
right?
Because we are in the middle of franchise negotiations, and we knew this was going to be an issue for
I personally
council.
Wish that we could have done this 7 or 8 years ago, right? And you guys could have seen the benefit of our revenue,
right?
Which I personally think if you do the math, it would pay for the line, but I'm, you know, that's guerrilla math. I think it works, but I would really like, you know, to be considered to have this line run and potentially even add it to the letter of agreement going forward.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I live at 36 Chalfont, across the street from Ron. And I just had a question about that density that you were mentioning. Does that just refer to our last five homes or the entirety of Chalfont Drive? Because aren't we part of the same street technically? Like, wouldn't we count the density from start to finish?
It would be within that mile that you're in. Is it a square mile or is it a straight mile?
Yeah, these are all very valid questions that we've.
And I would imagine it's probably 25 homes per unserviced mile.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think your homes were built after that original franchise.
Unfortunately, right. In 2004.
Oh. My home was built in the 1800s.
Harris is before that.
So technically, maybe I can get cable. Ron can come hang out at my house.
So that's our request, and I would just really ask you to take it seriously. We really, have waited a long time for the opportunity to do this. We've tried every avenue we could, and you know, this is it.
So. I mean, 5G has come, and when is it going to be enough?
And I'll be honest. I mean, since 2006, I've been told there's new technology coming. You'll be fine. And here I am in 2018, and I still don't have a solution. So
you're right. This is the opportunity, see what we can do.
Yeah. And I would be willing to cover the cost. Like I don't feel like we should have to cover the cost to put your infrastructure in place. But we would sign an agreement that would say that non-transferable. That we'll give you, we'll agree that we'll stay for a certain amount of time to at least you cover those costs. All right.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
So let me ask now that he spoke. So if we hold Comcast's feet to the fire and say we're not going to say yes unless you pay for that, they can then either pay for it, we say yes, or they can then go to the above us. Mm-hmm. So what's it worth to you? How hard is it to go above us?
It's not like, really.
Would you rather?
No, we would always rather work it out
with
the municipality to have a good relationship. Like I said before we got on, I've only had to do that two times in 17 years. So we're not looking to do this. And the fact that, I've kicked this upstairs to this specific issue upstairs to my boss because I do want to resolve the issues, and I knew this was going to be really the only issue that we had here in the municipality, a major issue. So that's why we're looking at it seriously now.
Does he know you probably should have came here with an answer tonight on paying for that?
Well, we don't negotiate in public.
Okay.
So we will, we're going to try to get that information.
It'd be a negotiation if you told this gentleman that he's going to get it.
It's a sizable build out. A sizable cost build out, and that's why they're looking at it again.
Okay. Can I just say that my fear would be we go forward with this in the agreement or the negotiation comes back and it's not feasible, right? And then we're out again, right? And unfortunately, then there's 15 more years, which isn't going to happen this time, right? Because we're not going to come back. I probably won't be in the home in 15 years. But I would prefer to have some kind of solution in place prior to moving forward, if that's possible. I feel that we've waited a long time to get to this point.
I think people understand, how do I say this? This is the opportunity.
Yes.
And it's got to be settled one way or the other.
Right.
Before we take a vote.
Thank you.
Can I make one more comment?
Sure.
And if you could just state your last name, too, because I know Carl is going to need it for the
question. Jamie, and last name is Junio, J-U-N-I-O. So I agree with everything Ron said. With the exception of, as you mentioned, with them fronting the cost, I would say that, we're talking about a multi-billion-dollar company here that's afraid to cover a $20,000 cost, but they're okay with me covering a $5,000 cost when I have two daughters at home to feed. That's just where I'm coming from with it. I mean, if it's something like reimbursing the cost through service, as was mentioned, I'm not opposed to that, but I think that's almost unheard of to get asked to install infrastructure for cable for our own property, to run out to our property. But
well, that is the franchise agreement, and I understood, based on looking at this or listening to Marvin, chatting with Marvin over the past several years about this particular issue, that is the process.
Right.
If service has to be extended to basically an isolated node of, say, four or five homes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Thank you.
We'll see what kind of agreement we come up with.
I appreciate it.
And none of us really want to go to the BPU on this stuff.
Right, exactly.
I would say, just as a general comment from myself after the storms of this past 12 months or 8 months, I guess. And it's very hard to tell. It's obvious when JCP&L hasn't cut the trees back and the poles are down and the wires are on the ground. It's less obvious when those low wires, you and the telephone company. But there's more than a few locations where there's a jungle growing on those vines, or lines rather. And Cokesbury Road, you know, about three quarters of the way up the hill from Route 22, it's it looks like another tree is sprouted from the lines.
Yeah, we don't trim trees. We rent space on the pole, so it's the responsibility of the pole owners to do that.
So do you have an agreement with them?
Yeah, we do.
Can you sit on them to?
Well, whatever the addresses are, if there are specific addresses, we reach out to them to try to get that resolved.
I'll give you a few because there's Stanton Mountain. Mountain. I don't know if they ever did put in a pole, and the rag is still holding the line from going across the
well, actually, they put a rope and pulled it back farther away.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, if Jess could forward me any of those areas, I can have our guys go out and take a look.
Past Ken Lockwood Gorge and Cokesbury. If I stand on the side of the road, the top of my head hits those lines.
Cokesbury High Bridge Road is the same way. If you're going down the hill, it could pull on the vines and pull the wires down.
So let's.
Any problem areas like that, we'll get it out to our maintenance folks, and they'll work with the pole owners. And yeah, it's not a squeeze. They're very responsive.
Okay. Thank you. I was curious about that for a long time. Anybody else? You good in the public? In that case, are there any objections to closing the public hearing?
None. I just, next step would be who's going to interface with Comcast on hammering out a final agreement and trying to resolve some of these questions and issues.
You and I?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dan McTiernan chairs the cable committee, and Jess, of course, is our administrator, so they're great.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. In that case, we'll close the public hearing. I thank you for turning out tonight and making a very polite request.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, now we're up to reports.
You're looking at you, reports.
I have nothing to report. It's as the same as the last 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Nothing's happening.
Well,
nothing's happening.
It is summertime in Hunter.
Yeah, it is summertime.
Sewer Authority has canceled their meeting. They will be meeting next. They basically combine their July and August meetings into a late July meeting, so I'll have something at the end.
You hope?
Yeah, I hope. We're going to try to get a finance committee meeting together soon to do an assessment of where we're at, since we're just past the halfway point. Mm-hmm. And the only other thing I would report on is a little bit of sad news. I was informed by former Mayor Sime and former Councilwoman Ancha Doyle that former Councilwoman Helen Pataka passed away
earlier
this year. So,
when was this?
Within the last, it was a few months back.
A couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. So the last remaining brother is still?
Yes,
yeah,
just Eddie. Charlie had also passed earlier this year.
Mm. There were three brothers, right?
And
there's one.
Right.
Charlie
the
was
one
that lived with her, and then he.
So I figured it was something that was worth thinking.
Thank you. I didn't know that.
Okay. Anything?
Open Space Committee, Lester Guise, has been working on getting some money for some benches for the trail property. He has raised enough money for three, so he's going to be ordering them next week, and it's a 3 to 4 week delivery, but that's very exciting. And he's still working on the markers and the posts, so there's that. And very exciting. Picking out some different ones. So I run a book club, and a couple of the members were discussing a book box, which I'd never really heard of before, which is basically a mailbox. The glass front that if you're done with a used book, you put it in there, you take it out. It's mm-hmm. like a switch thing. And apparently, from learning from these members, that there's a lot around. There's one in town, Clinton, Stanton.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was talking to Jesse, and I thought it'd be a really nice idea to put one of these near the dog park, gardens, something for the. Mm-hmm. And I'm like hoping for like a nice little setup for people. To have, first of all, some shade, maybe a gazebo eventually. That's on my wish list. And like, I want, but it's really, really sunny there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know. Somebody might donate something wonderful like that. And Jesse's also working on maybe some shade trees from a potential donor.
Oh, that'd be nice.
But anyway, I reached out to a few people, and I have two Girl Scouts, Emily Strucker and Nina Pacello, Troop 80258. That's actually Lana's group, okay. And they're going to be doing it, and they're going to be building it, and DPW is going to help install it. So that's it. One question: something that's small on township property, do they need a permit? I didn't think so. It's so small. Okay, that's it.
Smaller than a shed. Smaller than a shed.
Yeah.
And those benches, the three you mentioned, are those the only three that have been donated, or just those with that group?
That's how much he's collected.
And has there been any other benches prior to this?
Yes. We have one other.
Well, that, yeah, the dog park.
And a couple others that were, I think they've been put in.
Got a few over in Windy Acres.
You know, I'm just talking about Amy's property there, the new one.
One there. Yeah, Dave Balfour.
Right, that's the one I'm aware of, and then there's these three. Mm-hmm. And then, are they the only ones making efforts to raise money for benches? And how many benches in total do you think we need?
I don't think, I mean, three's.
Well, the next three will be in good shape, I think.
Oh, yeah?
I think three is sufficient. Yeah, okay. I mean, I know that they were interested in, I know the high school students were leaving their bags in the front there while they were, you know, practicing. So they, you know, less definitely wanted to have, like, a place where they can put their stuff when they're practicing over there. Right. But, and I definitely, like, the mile markers would be great. I know real runners really want to know.
Even walkers.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, the ones that are training for.
And where are we races on that?
Oh, he's working on it.
Okay, good.
He's working on it.
Excellent.
Okay. And then, oh, the running of the Lions, they're just starting to advertise about that registration. But definitely we're just going to be doing the one loop on the first piece of property.
When does that happen?
It's October, I want to say 23rd.
Wow, it's out there, okay.
Yeah, it is. So they're trying to do the open registration now to start getting it out there. So mm-hmm. And sharing it around so people know. But it's going to be like a spirit week over at North. It's going to be a really nice week.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the first time that they've used our property.
Or North Hunter, and they've always used Spruce Run, which is out of the way. I mean, this is going to be, okay. I want to say, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like a milk can game. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to be a whole spirit, you know, week type thing. So I think they're going to do really well fundraising.
Okay. So. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
That park is turning into something.
It's fun.
I could tell.
I like it.
Oh, gosh. Did we cover the planning board meeting at last council?
Yep.
Okay, so it is summertime, and we have nothing on my end to report, really.
Well, I think I made a mistake in coming to the last council meeting instead of going to the Board of Education meeting, because it was on the same evening. Very interesting thing occurred on the way to the circus. The current superintendent of the K-8 Board of Education, who has been there just about a year, is resigning. And I would love to have heard the reaction from the public when that announcement was made, which was at their last meeting. So I think they're now on another search to find another superintendent of school. So, but I'd pass it on. They're still having discussions, I know, too, which I'd like to have heard in regards to the movement from one school to another and the quote-unquote closing of Spruce Run School. It still remains open, but not part of the school system, per se. Other than that, that's my updates.
And the retiring superintendent is in until the end of September, I understand.
Is she going to she's not going to be around for this move either, is she?
No, she is. She's here until
the
end of September.
She's going to be here for the whole move, so she's going to oversee that.
But how effective she will be is the question.
Well, they do have a move strategist.
Yeah, that's true. But
I don't think the move is that complex, quite honestly, when it comes to all the things you need to do behind it. It's more the psychological aspects of the move and the changes that are taking place need to be made. You know, the morale of the teachers is what needs to, and some of the parents too, quite honestly. Hopefully they're addressing that.
Well, so they're looking for a VA and a superintendent. It's tough.
It's a revolving door over there.
Mr. Landon.
So you see we have the ordinance for shared services agreement on the police class 3 officers. Brian and I have been working diligently for a couple months on that, and we've come to it's a good agreement. The school liked it so much they're going to use that as a model for Rose High School, too. The ordinance basically updates that we identify all classes, 1, 2, and 3 officers in one document. And the guys are in, they're starting to get fitted for uniforms, they've met everybody over there.
And everyone.
You know, in the next couple of months will be working. So that's a good thing.
Now, a question on that, are they going to have Clinton Township Police uniforms?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Windy Acres, we started the cleanup over there. The various crews have been out doing estimates for the bridge repair and the asbestos removal and all the other things going on. So that's happening in bits and pieces. I just got a thing, an email this afternoon from the engineer from, I guess, the DEP. Once we do this, we'll be good to go. We can start working in earnest. You know, they sent in an application. DEP had to review to make sure it was truly an emergency. We have no bridge, that's kind of an emergency, that kind of thing. So anyway, that should happen over the summer in full swing. So we'll see the cleanup beginning and access with the old bridge abutments, repairs and all that. So that's good.
Do we have a plan for leaf collection next year? Because I think you had mentioned we were using part of one of those properties for...
Well, we're going to use one of our properties, I don't know which one, but yes. And because we're not going to keep it, we're going to roll it and
roll
it.
Out.
Yeah.
Just before we're still in with the acres, is it possible for the Environmental Commission to access the site via the bridge while this is in progress?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no. I'm not walking across that bridge.
No. When the Valley Bridge and the temporary.
Oh, yeah, sure. When they're in there. But like I said, they want to negotiate with the bridge company to get the bridge for a temporary bridge, and then DEP, if they go for the permanent, that's going to be moved elsewhere shortly to the abutment and keep it.
Okay.
So we're in a good position with all that. We just have to get the final approvals done.
So theoretically, EC or the open space could
They'll be in there this year for sure. They're going to take a look.
Yeah, sometimes.
But the permanent thing, hopefully this year. You know. But we're knocking that out pretty quickly.
Okay.
And then Jay and I have been working with Open Space and other folks on cleanups. You know, we've got to get our parks cleaned up first. We've got a tub grinder coming to get all the illegal brush dumps out of here. And that's happening.
And that's going to be DPW as well?
Well, if the tub grinder is coming in, we'll contract that out. For the illegal brush dumps we have in our parks, they got to go. And that's where Public Works.
Okay, so you're going to cover the whole gamut then?
Yeah, okay. And just clean up our property first.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jay and I were looking for access to the one open space project, the property across 31, Prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But there are actually two big parcels. And so we've been going around in circles trying to get into or across the road by the farm because there's really no public access. So earlier this week, we went out and drove around. As you know, lo and behold, we own the property across the street as well. We could put a parking lot right there and all the signs, and we're done. So that's in the works.
Good.
So I let you folks Open Space know. Probably in the fall, we're doing other parking lots. Get that put in. We'll get another kiosk put in. And so that's really good news, too. Because it's a beautiful park. You know, you got to walk quite a ways, but from the top, you can see the whole township around. It's really neat. It's unbelievable. Especially when the leaves are down. It's a beautiful park. So anyway, we got that going too. Bud Park, the well in the water. The well's in for the dogs. The shed has been ordered. And that should be in this or next week to hide the water tank for the water from the well. We're going to do that line and install the shed. And then the well guy's going to run the line to the dog park, the other one into the garden. So we should have flowing water. 120 gallons an hour, or whatever, 60 gallons a minute here before September. Sometime in August. So that's good news, too. We've also marked out for the garden. You know, the garden posted half the cost of the expanded fence. We've got contracts working on that to do that. Basically, we want to put the new fence up around the old garden and take, because you can't take the fence down, it'll get eaten overnight. So we're going to put that up, and the last piece will be the front where the gate is, and that'll come out. And that's being worked on.
How much larger is it going to be? Are they putting more lots in ice?
Oh, yeah.
How many?
I forget off the top of my head.
Oh, that's great.
But if you look at it, right, if you're looking at the gate, the right side doesn't change too much, but going back, it's another 30 feet. And
oh, wow.
Left, it's probably
wonderful.
50 feet.
Wonderful.
And it's going to be a nice fence. No, not. It'll be better quality fence with the groundhog protection. It's like a sheet. So that's happening too. Jay's going to be busy.
Yeah, poor Jay.
Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah, it's gonna.
But that's what we got him before. So we did the franchise agreement. Recreation camp is in full swing. I think Tom and Barbara are doing a great job. I went over to visit, and they do run a good camp. I think Friday is at the park. They go over and they have water cannons and stuff like that, ice cream trucks. So if you're around, swing on by and say hello. Our newest police officer's in field training.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes. He seems happy. I saw him over in Annandale at a traffic thing. And he was awesome. Youthful exuberance. Capital budget, like I said, we're moving all the stuff. We're meeting tomorrow morning with recreation folks in Palm to look at the new shed over at the park for the storage to match the shed, you know, we've got for these guys. That's nice. We're working on it. We got quotes for the top lot up at Franfield. Remember last year we took one out because it was basically old and not super safe. So that's in the works too. And we've got the information. We're coming in planning the timelines for the new basketball courts and tennis courts at Bunk Park, you know, to get that cleaned up, spread out over 2 years. This budget on. And Tom started the abandoned vacant inspections.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
I went out with him. And some that were identified were not vacant or abandoned. So people called them in. I don't know why. Clearly a couple that you know of.
Yes.
The violations went out today.
Yes.
For the registration stuff. So he's on top of that.
I understand Mr. Wright, just thinking of that one on Concord, Wright.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's one. There's a couple others that are,
yeah,
can't even see from the roof. Really, it's really overgrown. But anyway, he jumped on that, and that'll be a continuing thing as we get going. It's got a spreadsheet to track that.
Great news.
Yep. That's all I got.
Now I'm seeing DPW guys all over the place.
That's
they're
good.
Doing weed trimming, you know, especially around bridges and the like. The other thing I'm seeing a lot of is they're at all of the sewer connect. Well, I don't know if it's sewer, but the road connections for the sewers take the water off the road and redoing all of those.
Yes.
Are they doing that throughout the township now? Or
we're trying to avoid flooding issues. Well, flooding, which in the wintertime comes icing. So they got to clear the ditches out and the shoulders that some, you know, they get built up over time, so they're slacking or sloping them back so they flow properly into the storm drain and cleaning storm drain. That's an ongoing thing. And they've also started in earnest in preparation for the overlay program. See some of the roads where they've milled pretty rough out there. Take your time. But the contract for the paving is, they've been out. That should start. We have to wait until the bond ordinance is 20 days. So towards the end of the month, you'll see some activity.
Is that what they're doing, preparing the drains for that?
Yes. We're trying to do that up front.
Hey, you know, before I forget, on Reformatory Road, out by the Grand Field, there's a little bridge over the creek there. And on the, what is that? That would be the north side of that bridge. The road is depressed a little bit so that it doesn't sheet flow off the road.
Okay.
And it's been pointed out by some of the folks in Pierce Heights a couple of times. And it looks like, you know, just a real small amount of backhoe work, you know, the front bucket or something would take care of that.
I have pictures, I think, maybe, if you need them.
Oh. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. When we were here last, I discussed our municipal detention facilities inspection. There were several outstanding issues, as there typically are. I've completed the requests for exemption. I haven't heard back from them in about a week, so I think that issue's resolved. If there's anything further that they need, I'll be glad to get it for them. We did a little bit of loose preparing. There's rumored to be a strike at Exxon Research that's may occur. So we kind of had a meeting with them about that and a couple of our officers. I don't think anything's to come of it yet, but just in case anyone sees a collection of people along the side of the road or anything, that's what that's all about. I've been working very closely with Mr. McDermott in the last couple of days. An auditor for the township has called. Has quite a few questions for me. I believe I've gotten him everything that he needs. I'm sure he'll have some follow-up questions, but it can be a pretty complicated process looking at our figures. We have some officers who work 12 hours, some who work 10, some who work 8, some who are contractual employees, some who are not, one who's on assignment. So definitely a lot to take in, but I've been working with him the second half of yesterday and all day today, and I think we're pretty much, you know, on top of it. So I just wanted you to be aware of that.
The thing with the audits, they don't look at everything every year. So we do a sampling, and this year they sampled the things that came up. So I said, okay, we'll talk to the lieutenant, you know, here's the contracts, and they're working it out. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those, you know, I think we've got it under control. So
I do. It caught me off guard. I'll be candid with you about that. I was kind of fat and happy, and all of a sudden I get all these requests about all these different figures. And of course, I don't know everything. One of the misconceptions is that, well, you're a police officer, you should know everything that's going on, what this contract says and that contract says. And I literally told the guy, I haven't been in the union since Clinton was president, so I don't know what they do in a union. But I definitely have done a lot of research. I learned a lot about it. And you know, unfortunately for him, he's going to get one of my emails, which contain paragraphs and subparagraphs and arrows and pie charts and satellite photos and everything else. Yes. One of the other things, real quick, that I'm starting to do and I've been doing, and I wish I had more time to do, and I want all of you to be aware of this, is to look where I can cut costs, to look and see where I can cut money. Because when you're signing the bills that go out of here, you know, it seems like every time, well, what are we paying this bill for? Or what? How does this come about? And I'll give you a very quick example, because you learn a lot. There's X amount of phone lines that go out of the police department or out of this building. And we were at a department head meeting, and I said, why are we paying for all these different lines? Let's cut them. And then Mike Wright spoke up and said, you need to have a line for your elevator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I said, geez, I didn't even think about that. And then fire alarms, and then someone here spoke up and said, you have to have a line for your Alcotest unit. Mm-hmm. So you sometimes think that there's ways, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to begin ruffling too many feathers, but I want you to know that I'm looking, and I hope to devote much more time to say, even if it's a little bit of money here or a little bit of money there, to cut it out. I'll give you another very quick example while I'm on the subject. Oftentimes, I'll get requests from academies or other areas. Well, can we have one of your officers who maybe speaks Spanish or to help us with this? And there's an understanding that you're supposed to work with the academies or other agencies and to, you know, further the profession. But when you look at some of the requests, you say, well, I'm going to lose an officer for like 3 straight days. I can't do that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the easy thing to do would be to simply rubber stamp it and say, sure, no problem, and then come up here and tell you that we need more manpower.
Or overtime.
For overtime, precisely. So there's all kinds of areas that I'm going to be looking at to say, now let's tighten this up, and even if it's for a few dollars here and there, it's making a difference.
In the big picture, it adds up.
Yep. And look, I don't want to be naive about it. I mean, it's, we all know what government is. It's very difficult to control. But just while I'm thinking about it, I want you to know that's kind of a you know, for many, many years, I sat there saying, you know, when I have a chance, I'm going to make a difference about it, and I'm not going to let that slide by without at least trying. So that's all I have.
Thank you. All right, your reports are perfect. Very thorough. Thank you.
Thank you.
I noticed the police, if I'm reading the reports right, seem to be every month doing more business checks than the previous month. Are we seeing things that cause that to happen, or is that just in preparation?
No, I would say that the three things that account for that, the big thing is the school checks. You know, we really just said, listen, here's what we're doing. Here's what we're going to be all about until further notice. And fortunately, the school's out, but you could see a vast difference in the amount of school checks versus last year. Areas like Windy Acres, you know, we know that there's going to be a lot of work going on over there. Jay has already pointed out to us that that needs to be checked because of various issues. And we spent a little bit more time doing that. I've talked several months ago about Exxon Research, how they would like to see more officers, and the amount of people at Exxon Research between employees and contractors and whatnot. So I think that that's a result of just us making up our minds from a policy standpoint that this is what we're going to be doing for further notice. I've always prided myself in saying our roadways here are very safe. you know, for the amount of municipal roadways we have in Clinton Township versus the amount of serious traffic crashes and fatal car crashes that we've had here, that's always been something I've taken great pride in. Of course, we're the bad guys for doing that, for being very diligent and being out there and being seen and being very strict in terms of enforcing the traffic laws, but that's made a difference. I don't want to get away from that, but there comes times where we have to pay attention to other areas of our duty.
Okay, so is it time to move on to resolutions? The first one is a resolution authorizing the hiring of 3 part-time Class 3 special law enforcement officers excuse me, to help with security over at the high schools. Any?
Can we have the names?
Mr. Vince Castellani and Mr. Robert, I hope I pronounced this correctly.
Capice,
and Mr. Richard Floyd.
No questions, I'll move.
I'll second.
Yeah.
Yes.
Councilman Kuczynski?
Yes.
Councilman Millett?
Yes.
Council President McTernan?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes. The second one is related to the first one. It's approving a shared services agreement with North Hunter and Voorhees Board of Education for Class 3 special law enforcement officers, the 3 that we just mentioned.
And I think Jess did a good job explaining this earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll move if there's no questions.
I'll second it.
I think this is a great, great thing that we're doing.
Councilwoman Swetler?
Yes.
Councilman Kuczynski?
Yes.
Councilman Millett?
Yes.
Council President
McTernan? Yes.
Mayor?
Yes. Thank you. The next one, I'll read by title. Our attorney is more familiar with the exact circumstances of this one than I am, but it's a resolution consenting to assignment of all rights and obligations from LBP Clinton LLC and SJN Properties LLC to Galleria Construction Incorporated for Block 90, Lots 2.05, 2.06, 2.08, Hidden Meadows, and Block 90, Lots 2.12, 2.13, and 2.14, Fane Farms Phase 2. These are properties formerly owned by the Diocese of McCutcheon, if I recall, and Dr. Nenna had purchased them some time ago, and it appears the development rights and obligations are being transferred from his LLCs to a construction company.
Correct. And really what this is all about, because, you know, fundamentally under the law, whoever succeeds him as, you know, owner of the property inherits all the rights and obligations anyway. So I'll be honest, this is the first time I've ever had to do one of these resolutions because it's sort of self-executing. However, my understanding from the attorney who represents Galleria Construction, what has generated all of this is that Dr. Nenna needs to get off the performance bonds as a personal guarantor, and the surety wants this document before it will release him. So from my perspective, my concern was when I hear something about somebody in a performance bond, is the township going to lose its protection? The bonds themselves aren't being touched. They're remaining in place. This is literally an issue between the surety and Dr. Nenna, who no longer wishes to be a personal guarantor. And the surety, out of an abundance of caution, I gather, wants to know that the township has no issue with all of these obligations transferring over to Galleria. So that's what generated this resolution. Now, in terms of the, even by my standards, very long title, is that it took forever to sort out which lots were involved and which developments they went with and which documents, agreements, bonds applied. It was a nightmare, and I have to thank Carla and Denise Filardo because the two of them spent a lot of time going back through records and were able to do what Galleria's attorney couldn't do, what LBP's attorney, Dr. Nenna's attorney, those two were able to finally help me get it all sorted through.
It started out as 54 acres, and then the pieces started to move in different directions. We had a medical office building. So it's, you know, it's been years and years and years. There's been. Yeah.
And your time was paid for by.
Yeah, we're gonna have to sort that one out. So Now, having said all of that, you have before you some minor revisions to the resolution that was sent to you because Dr. Netta's attorney looked at it and wanted some language added. So you have a redline copy for the benefit of people in the public who haven't seen the revised one. The changes are in paragraph 4, which reads that the consent that you're granting is contingent upon receipt of a signed assumption of obligations from Galleria Construction. And then we've added the following. Upon receipt of said assumption of obligations, LBP, SJN, and Dr. David Netta shall have no further responsibilities to the township with respect to Block 90, Lots 2.05, 2.06, 2.08, 2.12, 2.13, and 2.14. And then I've added a new paragraph. The mayor and clerk are authorized to execute any and all documents necessary to effectuate the terms hereof. And that's because the assignment, the assumption of obligations, they are, there is a signature line for the mayor and for Carla.
So this is like belt and suspenders and another pair of suspenders.
Yeah, and then a second belt to hold on to the suspenders in case the first belt and three suspenders fail.
All right. I'll move the resolution.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczmowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malloy?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Yes. We're just waiting for I'm in order here. The next one is a resolution adopting an affirmative marketing plan for the Township of Clinton. And this is for affordable housing. Tom Burns, our planner, is here. You really ought to come on up and sit next to the lieutenant. He's not too scary. Tom is the expert on these kinds of documents. So this is a typical requirement. It's sort of a pro forma resolution. And again, we have a red line. This is on the second line. I'll read the first sentence or so. Whereas Clinton Township has adopted an affordable housing compliance plan, including a fair share plan that establishes the township's third round affordable housing program pursuant to level. So it clarifies that it doesn't promote, but it establishes our program. Any questions?
I guess my question would be, has the township established who their administrative agent is going to be at this point?
We did that one or two meetings.
Yes.
You did.
Yes, and I've sent, I sent all the resolutions to Katie Frazen and John Drill's office. I can get them over to you as well.
Maybe I overlooked something of it.
But yeah, there's,
we have made a decision.
Well, in the flurry of resolutions, I'm not surprised. There are a lot to keep track of, but it's an outside agency that's been appointed, right?
And that was my assumption. I wasn't sure. So
the gentleman
carrying out the plan.
Yeah, he previously had the responsibility, and so we just basically continued with him.
And this is all required by state law, and
it's a component of the settlement agreement,
right.
The color regulations. It's the idea is that these affordable housing units, there can't be any favoritism. They have to be marketed in a certain way, and certain people or groups have to be given a fair shot in terms of being able to occupy these households. Really, what it boils down.
Very good. And who manages this?
It would be the township's new administrative agent, or I guess continued.
Yeah. So it's really our contractors going to be doing this.
Exactly. They'll be doing all the work, which the benefit of that is not taking away someone else's time.
And this is pretty extensive. I'm assuming they're going to go through these exhibits, and they're going to pick what is appropriate. It's not 100% of the items that are in here.
True. More or less. It is a standardized form. They don't have to broadcast the role. I think they're more or less options.
Okay.
And they have to select from those.
But they need to be able to support, should they be challenged, that they did a strong enough effort to go out and actually
market
this program.
Discriminate.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's very prescriptive.
It certainly is. And the plan itself is really based off of the COA template. So we didn't take too many liberties, just the forms or the outlets, let's say, of publicizing the information.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, so this is kind of new territory for us. You know, we really haven't had units to administer, not a significant number up till now. So
Usually, and I'm used to an affirmative action, what you do is you display your plan or what efforts you put out rather than here's the things to go do, and you checkbox the ones that you elected to utilize. Interesting.
All right. If there's no further discussion, I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilwoman Switla?
Yes.
Councilman Kosmowski?
Yes.
Councilman Miller?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. It's the last of the resolutions. It's a resolution adopting an affordable housing spending plan for the township.
And on this one, I had one change that led to two changes in the resolution.
Yeah.
Just a simple language change where I noted that there were a couple of references to the city. I guess one on page 4, and then Mr. Behrens found one on page 2.
This is in the spending plan itself.
In the spending plan itself. And the we've revised that to refer to the township. So,
good catches.
Pointing
that. And Todd, thanks for your explanation on that spending plan. That plan is more, what was shared is more of a template than an actual. When I looked at that and I looked at it as an actual plan, it generated many, many, many questions. But sure. The mayor and I spoke, when I looked at that as a template for what needs to be done, and that we may not hit all those benchmarks or items in that particular time frame. It's the net end product that we've got to achieve.
It's when and if that money is captured. It must be allocated in a certain way where there's a minimum amount that has to go to X and a maximum amount that can go to Y.
Makes sense.
And it essentially dictates how we have to manage our affordable housing trust fund when developer fees come in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so
development fees are paid when a developer actually, like the Dr. Nennis,
yeah,
many parcels, when an additional unit or two gets built, there'll be some money coming in.
Yeah,
trust.
That was the same way, Dan. I looked at it like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I did too.
I talked to her,
and I can understand. I hope I was
better
able
now.
To be clear about it.
We met earlier this afternoon and said, what is this?
Exactly.
So, okay, I got it.
Again, to be clear, the projections moving forward, if they are not met, there is no liability aspect that the township has to kick in to meet that.
Yeah, that was what I was looking at, that they were going to have in 1 year all this interest. We started with a zero balance, and we're in month 7 of the year.
I completely understand, and I'm able to
if you look
catch
back
up
in the history, those numbers are eye-opening. I mean, we used to pocket a ton of money and make a ton of interest on this stuff.
Yeah.
And the coffers are pretty much empty now. It's developing. It's sort of at an end here. Hopefully it'll swing back to something positive, but not like the 80s and the 90s.
There's been some non-residential interest as of late. Yeah. It's seen at the planning board and possibly the zoning board. We can anticipate probably fewer single-family home starts. There'll be some multifamily townhouse developments, some of which may be exempt for this affordable housing, some not. We'll see how that resolves itself. But so there should be some. We just don't know how much at this point.
It also seems that houses are moving in the township right now, too. Seeing a lot of closed or under contract signs lately.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, depends on the size of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see a lot.
There's a certain name.
No, not your house. Not your houses.
Nope. Your houses are too big.
Yeah.
The one house I was going to turn in, honest to God, the day I was going to turn that in is abandoned. I saw people up there.
Yeah, the one with the dumpster in the driveway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there today.
Pardon me?
You were?
We were there today.
Someone's fixing it up.
Yeah.
So miracles can happen.
Well, maybe somebody got a good bargain. Who knows?
Well, I'll move the resolution adopting the affordable housing spending plan.
I'll second it.
Councilwoman
Swartz.
Yes.
Councilman
Kosmowski.
Yes.
Council President
Millay.
Yes.
Oh,
nice.
Of course
I have.
We change seats.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm surprised I haven't said
earlier.
I did want to point out one thing about this, too. If the township finds that it is getting much more than, say, $18,000, say, $75,000 or $50,000 a year, they can take a look and amend their spending plan so they can reallocate the expenses toward, let's say, administrative costs or something else. So this isn't final.
And that could be important. I mean, it's about a 20% cap on administrative costs.
Mm-hmm. Depending what that adds up to. Yeah.
Okay. As the good Mayor Sumay used to say, we're up to the action-packed part of the meeting now. And it's the introduction of an ordinance. And this is ordinance number 1117-18. It's an ordinance of the Township of Clinton amending and supplementing section 4-52E of the Code of the Township of Clinton to create the category of Class 3 special officers pursuant to NJSA 40A-14-146.9 at SEC, which is a fancy way of saying we're providing for the three aforementioned officers in our via a new ordinance.
And just to clarify, you do already have the authority under your existing code to go ahead and...
I was going to ask.
Yes.
Hire before we do this.
Yes. No, you did not. The authority already exists, but there's just a blanket reference to the statute. And what this ordinance does is really just spell out in detail the different categories of special law enforcement officers that you can have, what their respective duties are. It's all already set forth by statutes. That's why I say what you currently have on the books gives you all the authority that you need to hire the officers, to enter into the agreement with the Board of Education. But I think it's really good to have this ordinance, which came from the lieutenant, because it spells everything out in a lot of detail. And especially, it was interesting, Lucille Davey in my office, in her former life, was the Commissioner of Education for the state.
Oh, really?
And her perspective, you know, I just look at it as, I'm just a pencil-headed lawyer. She's that too, but wearing her Commissioner of Education hat, she also thought the ordinance would be very beneficial for parents. Because in one document, it tells them exactly what these officers are empowered to do, what they're not empowered to do.
And they try to Google some...
Exactly. And try to read cross-references and all the rest. So yeah. I think it's going to be very useful to have.
It's even educational for the current Class 1s and 2s, who can do what. You know, it's always been a little bit of a mystery to me. Okay. So, any further discussion? The public hearing on this will be on August 8th.
I will move introduction.
Second.
Councilwoman Switla.
Yes.
Councilman Katsunas.
Yes.
Councilman Mullen.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes. Let's see if she got it.
Yes. So now we are going to adopt an ordinance, I hope. Or think.
No.
No.
Introduction. Oh, excuse me. For some reason, I thought I... had done this one. We had done this one before.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, ordinance number 1118-18, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton repealing and replacing in its entirety Chapter 151 of the Code of the Township of Clinton regarding affordable housing to address the requirements of the Fair Housing Act and the Uniform Housing Affordability Controls, a.k.a. UHAC, and to comply with the Township's third round affordable housing obligations. And again, this is just a stem-to-stern update of an existing ordinance. Any comments from our attorney or planner?
Very similar in structure to what the township board has. It just updates it. There's a bit more detail, and it removes the language from the previous growth share methodology, which was invalidated. So it really just updates it, and it's based on a COA model. We have gone and tailored it and refined it.
Makes reference to the new agreement.
And also makes reference to the new agreement. So this will be the guiding ordinance for the township's affordable housing program, and detailed enough that it should have enough information where people can go and read it and say, I got it.
I was going to say, it's a little bit like the one we just talked about previously in that, you know, I don't know how many times, I can never remember the UPAC requirements for bedroom distribution, so I've got to go searching for them. So everything is right here.
Yeah, and including how the units get phased in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very much a nuts and bolts. It's the nuts and bolts of your program, really. It's the best way to describe this.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Or
I'll make a motion to introduce this ordinance.
And I'll second it.
All right.
Councilwoman Switler?
Yes.
Councilman Kapsanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Mullen?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, next up are paying vouchers, or paying the bills. And, whoops. I guess we're making our first payment to the high school and our first payment to the Board of Ed.
For the new school year.
Yeah, and then the typical township stuff. Any questions, concerns, or anything else? In that case, I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Councilwoman Switla?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malloy?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Yes. And we're up to that second public comment period. Y'all are very patient back there.
Listening and
learning.
Oh, you again.
Come on.
Actually, Amy reminded me of something, actually.
So. Amy, that's Play baby.
No, no. It's actually an open space. It's something I'd raised about a year ago, but Amy reminded me of the kids when school's back in session north, all the track people tend to be crossing the street all afternoon long, and they're high school kids, and they don't really look anywhere. I still think a crosswalk there would make a lot of sense, if it's possible. So then at least people know kids are crossing, they'd be obliged to stop. Kind of a weird spot to put a crosswalk, I admit, but I'd let the council know about that.
What's involved with putting a crosswalk? Do we have to get approval from the state?
Yeah. Well, you need to get your engineer needs to weigh in on it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Okay. I just want to know how hard it is.
Yeah. Something was in discussions when we started this project.
Oh, yeah, I know. It just takes a while to get done. So it's not a criticism. I just want to make sure it's going to happen because I know. You know, there are more and more people using the trail, and they do park it north. And
right.
A little parking lot's going to be in.
Yeah, well, once the parking lot's going to be in.
Less so.
There'll be less people crossing, because I agree. A lot of residents did reach out to me saying, well, it's great that we're parking it in North Hunterdon, but to walk down there is dangerous. And in truth, the students aren't allowed to run on it, you know, anymore. So they have a point.
Yeah.
But North has been really gracious, and there's, you know, letting us in the parking lot. And also there's that grassy area.
Which everyone uses.
That
I know. I mean.
Which is
But actually, on that point, the point of access, so I did went in Mission last week. I'd never seen Windy Acre, so I tried to find it. And I purposely didn't call any of you guys. I know I could have, but I didn't. Because I said, what if I'm just a normal person and tried to find it? I couldn't find it.
Good luck.
Yeah. It's not even, and it's funny enough, I couldn't even find anything on the township's website in open space where it's even listed as being there. So I guess I would encourage that page to maybe be updated, include Marukian, include the dog park, include the trail, maybe how to access this. Because it's a public asset. It's a public asset that's hidden, if you will.
Once we get the bridge.
Well, I laughed about that.
Well, we really don't have a legal place to park for Windy Acres, right?
But then we should say
that we control.
The driveway, but then you can't get in because the bridge isn't there. Right.
Yeah, I'm talking there's about not the other road. Side.
No, the other side isn't legal because you're
that's
trespassing.
What I mean. Yeah.
Right.
That's where I park.
Oh, so now you know.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm honest, right? So I can show you where that is.
But I just think the point is, my point is more broadly, it's a township asset. And I know that page hasn't been updated in some time because there's been a lot of activity in the open space area. But I think it'd be useful and helpful because council's done a lot of work acquiring a lot of property.
Even if not for Windy Acres, for the rest.
Well, for the rest. Maruki and all of the other sites, because the dog park should be on there, for instance. The new trail. Because these are great public assets. Yeah, and listen to Jess's update. I mean, there's parking lots going in. There's
signage.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of things are good.
The point is that the website used to have a map, which wasn't the greatest, but it indicated where the individual open space properties are. That map's no longer there.
Exactly. And there's no signage to find
it. Find them and use them. Like Hackett's Preserve is a good one to go to.
Can't find any of these.
Mm-hmm. No, I was being supportive. Like, you know, maybe time to go out and take some photos.
Well, I know you just did the open space inventory, too.
The open space, do articles in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Park of the month, put a picture in there where it is.
Right. Yeah. Because I don't think many people know how much the township has.
And honest to God, my daughter kept asking, well, how do I find the dog park?
Well, actually, you go to Amy, and she sends you there.
Exactly. Amy has
she's
a nice
dog park person.
Where's the nice map for that?
The one on 31 looks like two people's driveway.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the harder entrance for people to accept. Like, I'm not going to turn in there.
That's on the way out. We're going to phase that out. You got to go through the main. That'll be for emergency access.
And we put a sign up there too.
We're going to.
Oh, we were going to.
We want to get everything established. Let the summer growing thing with the garden kind of calm down, and then that'll be.
That'd be good to have a really, really good update of that stuff. I mean, by the end of the summer, early fall, we'll have parking lots, and who knows, maybe a bridge that works.
temporary anyway.
I had one final question, maybe more for you, Lieutenant. So the cluster officers are for the high school. Is it not common to do it in a K through 8 district, or yeah. It's not a requested?
Precisely. It would be up okay. to the schools to request it.
Got it. Okay.
The schools, North Hunterdon High School,
requested
reached
it.
Out to Got Mr. It. Landon and I. They requested a meeting. We've had a few meetings with them, both over the phone and in person. And this is really, they're the driving force behind it.
Okay.
I know in Lebanon Township, it's the entire school system, the elementary, the middle, and the high school. The elementary and the middle schools haven't reached out to us, which is their prerogative.
And if they do, the ordinance covers it. You can handle it, but they just haven't done it.
Right, and as was pointed out, we've always had an ordinance.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
2 weeks ago, Mr. Yeager came up and talked about the property, and he talked about, well, we have one ordinance that kind of addresses the bushes, and another ordinance that kind of, and as Ms. Cecil just pointed out, it's best to have something that's very precise and specific to that issue. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing tonight, and that's a statewide movement.
Yeah.
I'm in touch with, I've reported before, police officers and others throughout the state who are implementing this program. Well,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good comments, as always.
Oh, you know.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Maybe.
Aye.
You know, this guy, what did you have for dinner?